Amen. Every day with Jesus is a day of healing, but especially today because we're here today. Today's a day of healing. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray a moment. Father, we love you. We love you so much. We are so aware today that you are here. That you're not just near, but Jesus, you're here. And we're so grateful. We're so thankful. Lord, may we never, ever take your presence for granted. May we always honor you. May we always reverence you. May we always be mindful of you. May we always put you first, even in our services. Father, I thank you. Lord, your word tells us that you sent your word and healed. When your word is present, healing is present. And so, Father, because we open your word today, then we open our lives up to the healing anointing. The healing anointing that only flows from Jesus the healer is present today. And so, Father, we lay hold even now with every word that proceeds out of my mouth, let it be your words. And when your word is spoken, healing is made manifest in every life, in every single body present. And we go from strength to strength, health to health, faith to faith, greater life to greater life. We increase today because of your word. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Praise God. Aren't you thankful for the presence of the Lord? Amen. Amen. I mean, we don't ever want to take for granted, amen, that the Lord is present with us. You know, he could be sitting right next to you. Could. We know he's here and that he's in our hearts, but you know, the book of Revelation talks about how Jesus would visit the churches. And he could be visiting our church today. Absolutely. And I like to keep that in mind because we act better. Amen. We do. We act better. We receive better. We respond better. And it just helps us to really lay hold of the fact that when we come together, something real happens. Amen. Amen. We don't just go through rituals and forms, but something real happens because a very real Jesus is here. Amen. So I want to talk to you for not long. I mean, my goodness, we could go home and say that we've received a lot. We have. I mean, praise and worship. Lambert, my goodness. Lambert, I was like, Lambert, just preach. I was like, that was awesome. That was so good. Just the music, the exhortation, the offering. We just have so much around here, don't we? Amen. But we'll make room for a little bit more, won't we? And so I want to talk to you for just a short time regarding healing, but specifically, if you're taking notes, I've just entitled this simply, Your Healing is in Your Mouth. Amen. Your healing is in your mouth. Amen. And there's so many messages, so many directions we can go. I love ministering on healing. I really do. I feel like it's almost a debt of gratitude that I owe him. You know, I feel like if one has been healed of much, then they should talk much about healing. And so knowing all that the Lord has healed me from, I feel like it's just, how could I not? So I love the opportunity to minister. But there's something that as believers, whether you're a new believer, it's going to be good for you to learn this. Maybe you're here and you're not yet a believer, but you will be by the time you leave. It's going to be good for you to learn this. Or if you've been a believer for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, it's really good to remind ourselves of these things. Amen? Because, you know, it's the things in the Word of God that we call basic. Those are often the things that we let slip, and that's where we get tripped up. When we let the basic things slip. Amen? So there's no new greater revelations that we really want to run after. In a sense, we really just want to master what the Word says and not take for granted that the things that are, oh, yeah, that's basic, I know that, because those are often the very things that we're not doing. Amen? So we're going to learn a lot. Whether it's a refresher or you're hearing this for the first time, it's going to be good. Go to the book of James. The Bible has much to say about our words. Isn't that right? Amen. When God created us, He created us speaking spirits, as the Word says. He gave us the ability to create, and not by magical powers, not by, you know, alakazam and a wand. He gave us the ability to create by using words, by giving us the ability to speak. He made us like Himself. We know as you're going to the book of James, we know this. In the book of Genesis, we see the way that God created and formed and brought things to existence. He spoke. Isn't that right? And if we're made in His image and we're made like Him, then if we want to see things created and brought into existence, what are we going to have to do?
Speak.
That's right. We're going to speak because we're designed like Him, right? A mirror image, same, same. So the way that God does something is the way that we will do something. Amen. And so the book of James, chapter 2, praise the Lord. Some of you are still turning. It's towards the back of the book. In the back. James 2. And let's look at verses 14 through 17. And, well, I'll start with the Amplified in this one, and we may jump back to the King James. But in James chapter 2, verse 14, we read, "What is the use or the profit, my brethren, for anyone to profess to have faith if he has no good works to show for it? Can such faith save his soul? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed or clad and lacks food for each day, and one of you says to him, 'Goodbye, keep yourself warm and well fed,' without giving him the necessities for the body, what good does that do?" Sums it all up in verse 17. "So also, faith, if it does not have" what?
Works.
That's right. Faith, if it does not have works, the Amplified says deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself, this faith is destitute of power. It's inoperative or it's dead. And your Bible may simply say, faith without works is dead. And we know that. How many of you have heard that before? How many of you have heard that taught? So we know then faith without works, or the Amplified says faith without actions, or what we could use is the word expression. Amen, because that's something the Lord has been talking to us about this year. We see it all the time on the screen, expressions of the Spirit. Faith without expressions, faith without actions. The Bible says it's inoperative. It's worthless. It's dead, right? So we could say then faith for healing without action, it's inoperative. It's unproductive. It's just not going to work. You say, yeah, but I'm building faith for healing. And absolutely, we need to have faith for healing, but there's another component. Amen. Because faith without works or actions or expressions is dead. Now, when we hear this word works, we immediately think of something we need to do. Do you do that? I do that. When I hear faith without works, I think, okay, something I've got to do. What's the work that I have to do? And you're not wrong to think that. There are works There are expressions, ways that we can exhibit or express our faith. We need to do that. We need to combine that with our faith, with our belief. But a part of the works, really and truly, you could take that word, and if you just replace the K with a D, it would say faith without words is dead. And we don't need to do that because the Bible is perfect in what it is, but we need to see that part of the works is not just doing something. It's not just getting up or it's not just a behavior, but part of the works, part of the expression that's needed for you and I to receive our healing, it comes by our words. So just like faith without works is dead, faith without words is dead. Amen. The words are part of, our words are part of the work. That we as the believer are instructed to do. We're to add that to our faith. Amen. Now, I hope you can handle a little teaching this morning because I sense a teaching anointing. But that's good. We have we preach, we teach, we sing, we do all kinds of stuff. But it's so important that we just cooperate with the flow that the Holy Spirit has for the moment. And so I kind of feel like I'm back in school. I just kind of have that sense and that kind of feeling. But it's good. We need to be taught. Amen. We need to go over these things. And I want to say this to you, too. As we go throughout these scriptures, and we're going to hit several of them, you know, if something comes up in your heart and you see yourself, you see that you get identified, so to speak. You see, oh, gosh, yeah, I hadn't quite been, I let that slip. You know what? Don't wait till the end of the service. Right where you're at, just ask the Lord to forgive you. Just say, Lord, I'm so sorry I let that slip. I pick that back up. That's right. That's for me. That's right. Because what we want to do is we want to position ourselves to receive. Amen. We don't want anything standing in the way of receiving our healing, walking in divine health, which is the will of the Lord for us. Amen? So faith without works or faith without words or faith without expression, it's lifeless. It's not enough just to say, oh yeah, you know, I have faith. I have faith for healing. I have faith to believe that God can heal me. But yet healing words never come out of our mouth. Yet we never speak life. Yet we never speak healing over ourselves. Because here's the deal. If we're not speaking life and healing, we are speaking something else. Amen. Amen. You say, well, no, I really don't say much. Well, in your not saying much, you're saying a lot. Amen. Because we're either speaking life or we're speaking death. And it's important to know this. Whenever you're in need of healing or whenever you're working with someone else to help them to come to that place where they can receive from the Lord, here's something so important to remember. We always want to side with God. You always want to side with God's word. In other words, we never want to say opposite of what God says. We never want to speak opposite of what God's word says. Amen. If God's word says, I sent my word and healed you, then what we want to say is, therefore I am healed. We don't want to say, yeah, but. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. Yeah, but I feel like, man, I feel like I'm going to die. We don't want to say that because then we're going opposite of God's word. And I know we know these things, but it's the things that we think we know we often don't do. Amen. So we're re-knowing some things today. Amen. There's never going to be a time where you are going to obtain anything by faith that is not going to require words of faith. Amen. It's not going to happen because this is how God operates. Now, it may happen when you didn't know anything, right? When you didn't know and you were not saved, not born again, and someone brought you to a church service and you just talked trash and death your whole life, but the mercy of God, you know, is present, the healing anointing, and heals you, and you get born again because, you know, healing is the children's bread. You realize God is so good. He healed me. I give my life to him. You start coming to church. 10 years later, guess what? You can't keep talking trash. And expect to, yeah, but God healed me that one time. Yeah, that's because you didn't know. But I look around the room, and for most of us, I can see that pretty much the majority of us, I know you. I know you know. Amen. Amen. So our words are always, always going to be required. Amen. If we're going to receive from God. Hallelujah. Okay, go to the book of Romans. Let's look at this. How privileged we are. We are actually reading God's word today. Just think about that. We didn't have to go find the words of anybody else who's just not qualified. I mean, we're God's actual words. God's word today. Spirit-breathed words, and it's ours. Praise God. Romans 10. Romans 10 and verse 10. Let's read this. I want to read this to you out of the King James first. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." And, notice that "and." It's not enough just to believe with the heart. "And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So many of us, we've used that scripture, you know, to when we've been ministering to others and maybe leading someone to the Lord. That may be scripture 101 that we would go to. We say, well, you know, you need to believe with your heart, and if you confess with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Well, did you know that believing in your heart is the same, and confession is made unto healing? The same way that you appropriated, the same way that you got saved is the same way you get healed. Amen. Amen. Absolutely. It's not enough just to believe in your heart. But in order to have received Jesus, to make him the Lord of our life, somebody maybe said, "Will you say this prayer after me? Will you repeat this after me?" You know, and maybe your prayer said something simple as, "Jesus, I take you as my Lord and my Savior. I ask you to come into my heart, live in my life." Whatever that was, you had to do something. You had to use your words, right? You sealed the deal with your words. And it's the same regarding our healing. We can hear messages. We can believe that Jesus is the healer. We can believe it in our heart. But there will come a time where you've got to say it with your mouth. Amen. Jesus, I take you as my healer. Amen. Because see, when you took him as your Savior, that was included in the deal. Amen. That was part of your benefit package. Amen. That just as there was salvation to save us spiritually, there's salvation that saves our bodies. Amen. We are saved spirit, soul, and body. And we forget that sometimes. But we have to remember that healing's been provided for us. Praise God. In our salvation package, healing's been provided. Amen. Amen. You know, I want to see this just excite you. Amen. And I'll take it as a compliment. I guess my voice is so soothing it lulls you to sleep. But wake up. You didn't get dressed and come all this way to sleep. You could have stayed home and took a nap. So you're here. You might as well prop open your eyes and get something. Amen. Sleep when you get home. So if confession is made unto salvation, then confession is made unto healing. Amen. So once again, it's not going to work. The farther we go in Jesus, the farther we go in this love relationship and healing becomes a need, you're not going to be able to receive to the degree that Jesus has provided for us to if we never speak words of healing. Amen. If we never say, today I walk in health. Today I walk in divine health. I am strong in the Lord. I am strong. I am well today. All is well with my body. Father, I thank you that I walk throughout this day healed and whole and strong in you. I'm getting better by the day. I'm getting better by the minute. Oh, I feel like crap. I feel like I'm going to die. There's no faith in that. Yes, but that kind of stuff comes out of Christians' mouths all the time. It really does. I hear it. You know, and a lot of it's followed up with a ha, 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 you know, and ah. But we got to be mindful. What are we saying? Amen. Because we are having what we say. It's spiritual law. There's no getting around it. Even if you don't believe that, it's still working on you. Because it's law. You may not believe the law of gravity, but if you jump off a high building, it's still going to work. Well, you may not believe the law of confession, but it's still working. Because Brother Hagin used to say this all the time, you are where you are today because of what you said yesterday. You have what you have today because of all the yesterdays, all the things we've been saying. And that works for us good or it's going to work bad. But we want to work it for our good, don't we? Amen. We want to work it for our healing. Praise God. Go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. You know, there's always going to be a need for healing. Always. Whether it's in your body or somebody else. And you've heard me say this. But there will never be a time on this earth where a message on healing is not needed. Because somebody at every second, every moment of the day is in need of healing. Amen. And so I love for us to open our hearts up to realize that when we have these precious opportunities to come and just focus on the word of healing, just devour it. Take it all in. Get all you can get because we have to remember it's not just for us. You're getting all you can get because somebody's going to come across your path and you're going to need a healing word. You're going to need knowledge. You're going to need something to say to them, to encourage them. Amen. It's kind of like, you know, when a mama's expecting, like our precious Mel. I mean, clearly something's happening in there, right? And every week we see her growing and she's eating for two, so to speak, right? She knows that she has to eat because it's benefiting somebody else. You know, we ought to have that kind of thinking when we come to service. And when we hear a word on healing, I'm not just eating this for me. But I'm eating for two, or three, or four, or ten. However many people that I am so blessed to be put in their path this week, that they may need to know this. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Praise God. Let's read this out of the King James first. It says, we having the same. I love that. We having the same spirit of faith. Praise God. Did you know that today? That you have the same spirit of faith as God. Did you know that? You don't have a generic version. You don't have a watered down, second rate, marked down, on clearance. You have the same. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Amplified says, yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We too believe, therefore we speak. Faith speaks. Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Absolutely. Faith isn't faith unless it's given a voice.
Right.
True faith speaks, expresses. Remember faith without works or faith without words? Well, every scripture we're reading, the word is just confirming itself over and over to us this morning, reminding us that it matters what we say.
Amen.
It's not enough just to go around, I believe that, but what are we saying? Are we actually giving true voice and expression to our faith? Well, you know, I mean, in my mind, it's not enough. There are times that you've got to take the scripture that you just ponder in your mind and say it out of your mouth.
Amen.
Absolutely. We believe, therefore we speak. It should be like just a fluid motion. We believe, therefore we speak. We believe, therefore we speak. Not we believe. I might say something. No, I believe, therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I speak. I speak what I believe because I believe what I speak. When I believe what I speak what I believe.
Amen.
Amen. If I believe Jesus is the healer, then I say Jesus is my healer.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Healing belongs to us, absolutely. But in order to receive, many times, your healing hinges on the words of your mouth. Absolutely. Yeah. You know that the hinge on the door, everyone came in this door, and everyone's probably going to end up going out this door. What makes this door so successful is there are these little hinges, and it's going to go one way or the other, right? It's going to let you in or it's going to let you out. And the words of our mouth, they're like that. And so much of what, whether we go into something or we come out of something, hinges on the words in our mouth.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Go to Mark 11. Thank you, Lord. Are you turning in your Bibles or are you just waiting for it to come on the screen? When I don't hear a lot of pages, I know, okay, they're tired. They're going to wait for the screen. It's only been three scriptures. We can do this. I mean, thank God for technology and we're progressed, and I love having it up there. I enjoy it. It's wonderful. It helps, especially if someone forgets a Bible or new believer and doesn't have one, that's totally fine. But we don't want to ever just not open the word.
Amen.
When it's right there.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. So good for our eyes to look and see. Mark 11. Praise God. Let's read this. Let's start in the King James. Mark 11, let's start at verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Or in other words, you've been taught this, have the God kind of faith. Amen. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he
says.
Whatsoever he believes?
Faith.
Whatsoever he mentally assents to and agrees with on a Sunday morning? No. We have what we say. He doesn't even say he'll have whatsoever he believes. Yes, the believing is part of it, but we get what we say.
Amen.
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 Therefore I say unto you, verse 24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You will have what? You will have what you said, what you prayed.
Amen.
Brother Hagin used to stress this all the time. Notice Jesus made a point of saying, he made a point, he told us that there it would take three times the saying to one time the believing.
Yep.
Did you catch that?
Yeah.
No, you didn't. It would take three times. That's what we just read. Jesus laid emphasis three times the saying to one part believing. And so while we strive and focus on what we believe, great, fine. But what are you saying about what you believe? Amen. Because you can die believing that Jesus is the healer. But what do you say? What do you say when the pain flares up? What do you say when the diagnosis tries to come? What do you say when those symptoms try to aggravate you? What do you say when you can see something physically happening that should not be happening? Are you saying, oh my God? That's not faith. Yeah, but I said God. I do. I think like some people, I think we've watered down so many things that I think some people think that's like equal to prayer or something. Oh my God, no. There's no faith in that. What do you do when you see and you feel and you can, you know, what do you say at that point? That's when it matters most. Absolutely. See, it's not enough just to see and to feel and walk around with all this belief in our heart. Because here's the deal. If our heart is so full of belief, it's going to come out of our mouth. Yes. Remember what we just read? I have believed, therefore I speak. They go together. Praise God. Is anybody getting this?
Amen.
Amen. I love this. In let me read this to you out of the Amplified. And Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly. You know, our faith has to be in him constantly.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, you really need to, and again, we've said this, but I'm going to say it again because it's just good to hear. You really don't need to let your meditation be CNN. Or even Fox News, or whatever the latest report is. You know, I mean, you don't need to sit there and meditate on how there's new strains of flus that are killing people, and it could be you next. You don't need to meditate on the fact that could there be an outbreak of measles happening again? And oh no, what about, and what if, and am I, and all of these things. You don't make that your constant meditation. Jesus said, have faith in God constantly. We want to make sure that especially in this day and age, I mean, there are all kinds of things happening. All kinds of stuff. Stuff that they don't even have names for yet. But our faith is in God. Our faith is in God. And not just when times are desperate, but our faith is in God constantly.
Amen.
So that should we come up upon a hard time, we're not trying to dig around and scrounge for faith because we've had it constantly.
Right.
And that faith sees us through. Yes. Have faith in God constantly. Verse 23 in the Amplified. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain. You know, a mountain is no respecter of persons. And clearly we know that because he said whoever. We're all whoever's. And at some point and at some time, there may be a mountain that pops up in your life. Whether it be physically, whether it be emotionally. You know, there's healing for the mind just like there's healing for the body.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Do you realize that? Yes. That not one is lesser than another. There are sicknesses of the mind that are just as debilitating as there are sicknesses of the body. And the person that is tormented by sickness in the mind, amen, by fear and panic, oppression, depression, panic attacks, all these things, that's a sickness in the mind. And they have a right to be free just as much as somebody with cancer in their body. It's a mountain. Yes. And Jesus said that whoever says to the mountain, not whoever looks the mountain, cries at the mountain, meditates on the mountain, walks around the mountain, makes a home in the mountain, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up, thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place. That's so powerful. When we speak, do we believe that what we just said will take place? Or are we still living in the land of maybe, and the I hope so's, and the what ifs, and the maybe one days? No. We want to come to that place where, just like Jesus said, we believe that when we say it, it will. It's as good as done. Praise God. It will take place. It will be done for him. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, whatever you ask for in prayer, whatever you ask for. Sometimes, especially if you've been a believer for quite some time and you've, quote, been word of faith or in the faith or whatever you say, we have to remember this. The Bible tells us throughout the Word in several places, but right here, Jesus is saying something that we miss a lot of times. He says, whatever you ask for in prayer. You know, sometimes we just need to slow down when we come to God in prayer. We live in such a rushed, hurried, drive-through world where we want everything right now with a side of fries. We want it right now. And there are times where, if we're not careful, we make the mistake of we approach the Lord this way. We approach his presence this way. And we say, what do you mean? I don't do that. Well, here's what it sounds like. Something happens or you feel a symptom happening and you immediately say, well, I thank you, Lord. I know I'm healed. I just thank you for my healing. But did you ask? Well, I thank you, it's already done, and I go out the door. What is that? Is that really coming from a place of faith? Now work with me here, follow me. I know that sounds very faithy, and we've all done it, and we still do it. But let's make sure, is that coming from a place of humility? Is it coming from a place of true faith? Or are we just saying, are we just taking a shortcut? Because we don't want to take the time to really get the healing scriptures out and go before God because, you know, I'm busy. I got life to do. But I want you to heal me anyway, so I thank you that I'm healed. Amen. Walk out the door. We're busy and we do all the stuff we do. And then we get frustrated and upset because it's getting worse and it's getting worse. But I thanked him that I was healed. I get that. But did you stop and take the time to ask in prayer? There are still times that we need to slow down, humble ourselves, go to God, take the word, lay it before him, and ask. Because here's the thing, We're missing so much sometimes when we just thank him and go on our way. Because had we taken the time to listen, the Holy Spirit could have pinpointed specifically what you need to ask for.
Amen.
And so you're thanking him that the pain is gone, but you don't even know what's causing the pain. And we could get specific and we could get detailed if we took the time to listen to the Holy Ghost. And then we could go before him and we could ask. Father, I know your word says that healing belongs to me. I know that. I know that. I don't doubt that. I know your word says that you bore my sickness and my pain. I know that and I don't doubt that. But Father, I come before you and I ask. I just want to ask you, Lord, what's going on in my body? You made this body. I'm asking you, what's going on? Show me, tell me, what is it exactly that I need to exercise faith for? See, we want to grow up in him, don't we?
Yes.
Don't you want to have real, intelligent, insightful, deep, just wonderful conversations with him?
Amen.
You know, don't we want to get past the place where, you know, thank you, Jesus, for our food. Bless the hands that prepared it. Amen. That's wonderful when you're 4 and you're 5 and you're 8 and maybe 10, I don't know, however. But when you're 40, shouldn't it be, Father, show me. Your word says. Can you see the difference? Thank you, Jesus, that I'm healed. Amen. How come you didn't do it? How come you didn't give him a chance? This ain't Burger King. You don't have it your way. Right? Matthew 6:33 is all about God's way of doing things. Seeking him. What about seeking him regarding our healing? And not just, you know, wanting a drive-through manifestation and running out. Praise God. Jesus said, for this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, be confident that it is granted to you, and you'll get it. And you will get it. Praise God. So good. So good. Say this with me. Three times the saying.
Three times the saying.
To one time the believing. Amen. Let's just do like Brother Hagin used to do. I love this. We have an amazing picture. Many people do. Someone, probably was Phil Anglin, or somebody caught a picture of Brother Hagin. And Scott Webb took the picture? Yeah, it was at Scott Webb's church. And Brother Hagin was preaching. And he would always do that. He'd always say, 3 times to 1. 3 to 1. You know? Come on, let me see you. So you remember this. We do things so you remember it. Three times the saying, 1 time the believing. Look at your neighbor and go, watch those fingers. Right fingers up, okay? Pointer finger. Where is pointer? And when you're doing the three, watch that too, because, you know. We're not making it, some of you are like gang symbols. You know, I'm like, no. That's going to be like our latest gang symbol, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea. That could have meant I'll kill you. I don't know what that means, but I'm so gangster. Thug life for me, absolutely. I'm thugging it all the way. Proverbs, Book of Proverbs. We are winding up. Proverbs chapter 18. Praise God. Lord, we love your word. We're so grateful. Proverbs 18. Normally we just jump right to verse 21, but I want to read in the Amplified verses 20 and 21. They go together. So Proverbs 18, verse 20 says, a man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth.
Yes.
Hmm. That's interesting, isn't it? A man's moral self or a man's life, your life, will be filled with the fruit of your mouth. Not with the fruit of what someone else says about you. And we really need to get that. Because we get hung up far too many times on what someone else said. And their words have no power over your life unless you give it power. And you give it power by taking it in and repeating it. Yeah. You know, a thought unspoken will die unborn. You give life to it when you say it. It's not what someone else says about your future, your body, your healing, your finances, your life. It's not what someone else says. No. But our lives are filled with the fruit of what we say. It's what I say. And you ought to grab a hold of that because it'll empower you. And it'll break the lie that you're held captive to what someone else may have said. Someone else could have said over you your whole life, you'll never do it. You'll never amount to anything. You're just like your father. You're just like your crazy uncle. You're just like that. You're just like that. Who cares? Your life does not have to be filled with the fruit of what they said. But what do you say? What do you say? Amen. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth and with the consequence of his words. He must be satisfied, whether good or evil. That is heavy. That's really heavy. How many of you have ever had to live with the consequence of your words? Oh, we all have. And it's not fun. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? It's hard to realize that you've said something and you can't take it back and it's snowballed and now you're trying to clean up and deal with the effects of words. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. That's why God gave us his most prized creation, the ability to speak. Yes. That's why your dog doesn't talk. Oh, they do in their own way. And some of them are smarter than humans, I think. Anyway. At least they behave better sometimes. But anyway, that's a whole other message. And you know, you can even take that really smart parrot, and it always kind of freaked me out how Wayne always laughs at me. And I'm like, I just don't like the whole thing when parrots start, you know, you teach them how to say things and they repeat things and you come in the room, they're like, hello. And I'm like, I'm like, I don't want to talk back. That freaks me out. I don't know. It's just kind of something creepy about that. But anyway, you can teach an animal, but they're not really speaking, right? They're not really creating and giving life. We speak. And because we speak, we're either going to be filled with the consequences, good or evil. Then it goes right into verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or for life. It just doesn't get any plainer than that. Could it get any more just blatant and just right there? There's no misunderstanding that, right? And this is Bible. This isn't Reader's Digest. This isn't O Magazine. This is Bible. Yeah. What we say, we're going to reap the fruit of it. We're going to have it. One way or the other. It's going to work for our good or it's going to work for our bad. It's going to work for our life or it's going to work for death. Look at your neighbor and say, speak life. Amen. Look at somebody else. Look at someone else. Look them in the eye and say, speak life. Amen. Speak life. Praise God. Last scripture. Stay in the book of Proverbs and go to chapter 6. We'll end on this. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2. Let's see. Let's read both because they're just slightly different. They're the same, but give you a little bit more of a bigger picture. King James Version in Proverbs 6 and 2 says, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." Amplified says, "You are snared with the words of your lips, and you are caught by the speech of your mouth." Wow. I wonder how many times. Oh man, I just can't resist. I'm gonna have to do it. Caught in a trap. I can't get out. No Elvis fans? What's wrong with you people? Thank you, Laura. Because I love you too much, baby. Okay, get in the spirit. What's wrong with you people? Do you know we're in church? How dare you? Anyway, how many times have we been caught in a trap that we set for ourselves? Yeah, we don't even want to think about that, right? Because it was everyone else's fault. Because you know they did it. Well, you know they said. Well, you know what they did and how they acted. Well, we are snared. We're caught or we're trapped. But here's the good news. We can look at the flip side of that. If we can be caught or trapped by the words of our mouth, guess what? We can be set free. Amen. By the same, that same mouth. Those same, that same vehicle, that ability to speak, it can either snare you, trap you, or it can set you free. Amen. Amen. When that pain comes or you feel that symptom, think, oh, you know, and we laugh at it, and it was funny, and we a lot of us grew up watching it, but, you know, what was it, Fred Sanford? Oh, it's the big one. It's the big one. Every time something happened, right? I'm coming, Wheezy. It's the big one. And we laugh and we laugh, but yet people live like that. And every pain, they're like, oh, that's it. And if you're from the South, they'll say it, that's the cancer. You put the in front of everything in the South. Yes. That's the Lincoln Continental. That's the fast food. That, everything's a the. So anyway, that's the cancer. You know. No. And you've heard me say this so many times, but you know, and one day when we all get to heaven, I'm going to see my grandma again. I'm going to say, Grandma, thank you for giving me so many sermon illustrations. Because bless her heart, she loved Jesus. Daddy was my daddy's mom, Doris Brown. Good, 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 true, love Jesus, good Baptist, involved in her church, wonderful, wonderful. But yet, I can remember, and if you've heard my dad even say it, she was constantly living in fear, constantly talking about every pain, it was cancer. Every ache, it was disease. So much so that literally she was expecting it. And this happened over years and years and years. Nothing was ever just, I mean, nothing was ever just a sneeze. It was the flu. Nothing was ever just a slight headache. It was a brain tumor. And I'm not kidding, right? It's the truth. And she's with Jesus now, and she's been there a while, and so she's learning all about faith and everything. But you know, it's big to us in my family because when that day came where she was at that appointment, and they said, "You have breast cancer." My grandma's words were, "Well, I've been expecting it." That's heavy, isn't it? Well, I've been expecting it. Love Jesus? Absolutely. In heaven? Absolutely. Yes. But we can love Jesus and yet never walk in the things he's provided for us. And part of that, yeah, it's about believing, it's about faith, but it's about what we say. It's about what we're saying about what we believe. Amen. We're never, ever going to get away from the fact that we will live or die by the words of our mouth. Amen. Amen. At some point in our lives, if you haven't already, you're going to have to assume and take on the responsibility. You don't live by default. You're going to have to own up to the fact that, okay, I realize that I am where I am today because of what I've said, but the good news is this. I can be where I would like to be. I can look ahead and say, okay, I can increase. I can get better. I can do more. I can be more because of what I'm saying. And I can change it just like that. Amen. Do you realize you can change your health just like that? By simply changing your confession. There's something physiological that actually happens in the body. Amen. It happens in the brain, the connection between your mind and your mouth and your saying. Yes, science has proven it out. That they can take somebody who's been so depressed and so oppressed, and if they can just get them, if they can just get them to say something happy, today's going to be a good day. Today's going to be a good day. They may not believe it, you know, for a long time, but eventually if they keep saying it,
amen,
their countenance changes. They start believing. Today's going to be a good day. Today's going to be a good day. Today I walk in healing. Healing belongs to me. I have long life and good days. I'll live and not die. Amen. Every year I get better and better. I don't fear birthdays. I get stronger and stronger. I don't hate birthdays. I love it because, I mean, it's more life to live. Stronger and longer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your healing word. Your word that reminds us we have a right to be free. We have a right to be healed. Whatever it is, there's no sickness and disease too big, too small. Nothing's out of your reach. Father, we employ the words of our mouth. Forgive us, Lord, for those of us who have known what to do and we've slacked and haven't been doing it. For those of us who have spent more time talking about how we feel instead of talking about our faith, we repent of it. We don't want those words to produce a harvest in our life. We don't want those words to spring up. We don't want to die. We want to live. We want to live strong. We want to live healthy. We want to fulfill the plan and the call that you have for us. We want to see our children grow up. We want to see grandchildren. We want to see all this that you've promised us. So, Father, forgive us. For any time we've ever spoken against you or sided against you with our words. It's not old age. We're not forgetful. We're not losing our mind. We're not just, oh, it just must be dementia. No. We speak crop failure over those words. We're not blind as a bat. No, our eyes get stronger and better. All of these things, Lord, that we take so lightly, we take them back, and we get back to where we need to be with our words, and we start acting like children of God, and we start sounding like children of God. men and women of faith. And we start dictating and declaring how it will be. And we say it will be well with us.